Hi, this is Radio Kate here at the English National Opera House in London on the St Martin's Lane. What am I doing here? Well, it's a good question. I'm not entirely sure myself. We're here at the Satyagraha remix, which is, I think, supposed to introduce us into opera. I actually don't know this opera, but with me is Luke, who is a director who started in theatre and has moved over to opera, so perhaps he can explain to me why opera isn't scary.
Well, I actually would throw the question back to you first. Why do you think opera is scary?
My idea of opera is kind of very posh people listening to screechy song in foreign languages, and I just don't feel like I would feel like I belong there, and if I won't belong, then I don't want to spend £30, £40, £50 on a ticket to something I might not even enjoy. So sell it to me. That's your challenge.
It's an impossible task.
Should we end this interview now?
I think it's an interesting situation. It's not uncommon. I don't come from an opera listening family background, and I think what got me is when I started to think about the history of opera and how, you know, musicals have taken over really as the modern kind of paradigm of popular musical entertainment. And but at the same time, if you go to other places in Europe where it's opera is far more institutionalized in the culture. You go to Germany, there, for instance, they've got 70 odd state-funded opera houses. Little kids there know the different. And I was saying to you before, little kids there know the Papageno's aria, for instance, from the Magic Flute. It's a part of their culture to begin with. I don't know. I mean, if you go to another country in Europe, for instance, you're constantly getting different films and musicals in English. It's not in the language. Native language either. So, have you ever watched a foreign film?
Yeah, but operas don't come with subtitles.
Sorry?
Operas don't come with subtitles.
They usually do. Most of the time they would. If they're foreign, if they're sung foreign in sorry. If you are in an opera house in the UK and it is a foreign language opera, unlike, for instance, here at the ENO where it's all sung in English, it will usually be in surtitles. It would be very unusual if you didn't see surtitles translating what was being sung. And in fact, most of the operas that I've seen here at the ENO all have surtitles, even though they are sung in English. And I think that's one way of making it accessible, so that you can actually understand, you know, the articulation of what's going on. But, you know, these are very universal stories, which is why they're quite famous. And you know, there's been a lot of like musicals which have had their roots sort of in opera. Now you're going to ask me for one immediately off the top of my head. Madame Butterfly, which, you know, Miss Saigon is an incarnation, reincarnation of the story of Madame Butterfly, for instance. Carmen's been reinterpreted many times.
So why do you think, because if you say musicals, people think they're, you know, Andrew Lloyd Webber, a bit trashy, a bit cheesy. If you say opera, everything's a bit highbrow, poncy, but effectively they're both stories, universal stories told in song. So why is there such a difference?
Opera's very, 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 very expensive to put on usually, and it doesn't have the kind of commercial imperative these days probably that it used to. If you go back 100 years ago, when Puccini put out an opera, people would rush off to the music stores to buy the sheet music to play all of the greatest arias, greatest hits at home. And when I looked at how I would make opera make sense for me, I started to think about it as being like, well, 100 years ago, it was the MTV of the time. It really was. It was sexy, it was exciting, it was slightly dangerous. There was lots of, you know, sort of flesh on display, or, you know, swashbuckling adventure, or slightly subversive politics. And often it would be provocative and musical and entertaining at the same time for people to go to. So, and, you know, we have moved on as the world has moved on culturally, and now popular music and all that sort of thing have sort of taken over. So, you know, they're old things, but you don't sort of throw a Rembrandt to one side and put it in a dark corner because people don't paint in that style anymore, because we'd rather stare at Damien Hirst's, you know, Cow and Formaldehyde or whatever. You know, so I think there's a place for it. But
and how do you think evenings like this, opening out the opera house here and having all these different events, they've just had a Gujarati dance class above me, and downstairs there was a performance poets and there's some philosophers around. How do you think that would help get people interested in opera?
Depends on how well it's focused. Yeah, I would say. And whether that is the objective tonight, I'm not sure that it is. I'm not sure whether this is not just a cultural engagement of some kind. I don't know whether it's to seduce people to come along now to see the Satyagraha. I couldn't say that. That has a marketing kind of, I don't know, imperative or something to it. I don't know that that's the case.
We're going to do it this way.
We should probably stop now.